Texas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a text message. I didn't get an email.
I didn't send an email, but on the listserv. Say it was on the Disney Barter list, or probably on the Camp Nou list. Or okay. We're in Sefer Shoftim, Perek Hey, Chas Gimel, chapter 5, verse 23. So Dvorah has just finished discussing the tribes that did join them, praising those ones, criticizing those that didn't join. Last week we talked about the miracle in the Nachal Kishon, how the river overflowed and the river washed away the Plishtim, Sisra's army. And now she continues and she says in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Oru Meiroz, cursed is Meiroz, Amar Malach Hashem. The Malach of Hashem says, the angel of Hashem, Oru, Oru Yosra, cursed are the dwellers, are their dwellers, Shivovo'u Le'ezras Hashem, for they did not come to the assistance of Hashem, to the assistance of Hashem's army, Le'ezras Hashem Bagiborim, the assistance of Hashem against the Giborim, the mighty ones of the Christi army. Meiroz, we didn't translate, a number of different offerings, approaches. Rashi brings the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokas, actually, what Meiroz refers to. So Rashi says, some say, one shita in the Gemara says it's just the name of a star. And I guess for some reason, I don't know exactly what that means, but that constellation, right, we mentioned that that the Kochavim, right, in Pasuk Chaf, we said, in Shemayim Nilchamu HaKochavim Mishivosram, that the Kochavim, the stars, they battled from their path, the celestial path, and the Gemara says that then Meiroz, for whatever reason, was not part of that. Cursed be Meiroz. Can't really explain what that means. The other one is that this was a Adam Chashev, a very important person who perhaps he had soldiers, I'm not sure, but Oru Meiroz cursed his Meiroz for not joining in the battle, for singing out. He must have been very important because he gets a call out, individual criticism for not joining the battle. I think the more pashut that, also the implication of the continuation of the pasuk is that it was a place, and that's how most of the Rishonim learn, is that it was a place, Meiroz, and the people of Meiroz did not join, and therefore she says, Aror Yoshveha, cursed to be its dwellers, for they didn't come to battle. The only thing I've seen, interesting inference in the pasuk, and again, I can't really explain exactly what this means, but if you look in the pasuk, so it says, Oru Meiroz, Amar Malach Hashem. The Malach says, Oru Meiroz. And then, Dvorah continues and says, Aror Yoshveha, cursed are those who dwell there. So the only thing I've seen says that the Malach, you know, couldn't judge the individual people. He says,
what was that, Rabbi?
The Malach wasn't going to curse the individual people to pass judgment over the individuals of this city. Because the Malach, he says, he doesn't know what was in the heart of each person. Maybe they didn't join some people because they were weak. Maybe some people because they were afraid, soft of heart. Because there are some places where the people are just weak. And so therefore, the Malach blamed it on the place. That, you know, maybe it was this was a place that didn't produce strong people, and that's why they didn't join. But therefore the Malach couldn't determine what was in the hearts of the people, whether there is actually a criticism of the people or just a general criticism over the place. And therefore, Bara says that the Malach said, Oru Meiroz, just cursed the place, cursed the city in general, without cursing the specific people. But Devorah, had a nevuah that in fact the people were giborim, that they were mighty, and that they should have joined, and that they did not have a valid excuse for not joining. And therefore Deborah continues, and she says, Arur Yoshveha, cursed are those who dwell there. The specific people, Shilovo Ezra Hashem, because they did not come to the assistance of Hashem, to the assistance of Hashem's fight. The Meshech Chachma, in his Perush on Chumash, but he has a few comments on some of the Haftarahs. So he asks, all the way back at the beginning of the Parak, the Shira of Devorah begins, Batashar Devorah, Barak Avinoam, and Devorah and Barak saying on that day, and it doesn't say a Shira of Hashem, like it does by Moshe Shira, as Yashir Moshe, as a Shira Hazos Hashem. And the same thing we find by David Shira, I couldn't quote it to you, but when David sings a Shira also it's Hashem, and so he asks, why isn't Devorah a Shira of Hashem? And he gives two answers. And one of them is based on this pasuk, because it says, Oru Meiros, he cursed the people of Meiros in this pasuk, and he quotes the Chazal, quotes the Gemara, a Medrash, Gracious Rabbah, that Inga Kadosh Baruch Hu Miyachay Shmo Al HaKlala. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't place his name on a curse. He doesn't allow his name to be associated with a curse. And so therefore, since she included that in her Shira, in her song, it couldn't be a Shira of Hashem.
I meant when they were on the two mountains. Curse?
We have to look at the Pesukim and see, you know, if Hashem is Meyachid Shmo there. It says Hashem's name, like, this is... And otherwise, we just have to go back to that Medrash and try to understand that Medrash better. The second answer that he gives is because she lost her nevuah in the middle. Like, if you recall, we learned about that she, when she was arrogant, her nevuah departed her, and then she says, Uri, Uri, Devorah. She davens that she should get her nevuah back. Therefore, since the nevuah departed her in the middle, so maybe it wasn't completely Hashem, as in with Hashem, it wasn't completely through nevuah, at all steps of the way, as she tried to sing the Shira. Certainly, everything in Navi is written with nevuah, but it could be that as she sang the Shira, nevuah departed her, and so therefore she couldn't say, you know, it's that this Shira was completely Hashem, because there was a part, there was a moment there where she lost that connection with that divine inspiration. So now, in sort of finishing up the Shira, she comes back to Ya'el and Sisera. We touched on, when we learned the last parak, the story itself, and now we'll see in the Shira, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, Devorah says, Tivorach Minashim Ya'el. Ya'el should be blessed from the mouths of women. Eshes Chever HaKeni, the wife of Chever the Keni, Minashim Ba'ohel Tivorach, from the women of the tent, she should be blessed. Or some read it, even more than the women of the tent, she should be blessed. So Rashi here tells us, who are the Nashim Ba'ohel? Who are the women of the tent? It's the Imahot. It's really based on a Gemara, which we'll read in a moment. But Rashi says, who are the Nashim Ba'ohel? Sarah. By Sarah it says, Hinei Ba'ohel, she was in the tent. Rivka, it says, Ayiriyah Yitzchaka Ohel, Yitzchak brought her to the tent. Rachel v'leya t'nemar bahan v'yetzim the ohel leya, and he went out from the ohel of leya. He doesn't bring the end of the pasuk, but we see that each of the imahos was associated with ohel. They are the nashim ba'ohel. They're the nashim of the tent, and Devorah says nashim ba'ohel Devorah, even more than the nashim of the ohel, more than the women, the imahos, the mothers. you should be blessed. Rashi explains why. Says Rashi, Rama, because Hain Yaldu Vigidlu, because it's very nice that Imahu has created the Jewish nation, but Imlo Yael, not for Yael, Hare HaRasha Hazeh Ba'uma Abdon. This Rasha would have come and destroyed them. Tachubu Bereshit Rabbah, that's in Bereshit Rabbah. Now this itself, we'll see, it's going to need further examination.
Yes, because Hashem has many ways. She wouldn't have done it. Why should he hit him with a boulder?
I mean, I don't know. That wouldn't be my question. She was the way that Hashem chose. So it's
right.
True. Anything could happen without her.
But she
was the vehicle. Once she was the vehicle, we can say that if not for her, then...
Right. Why should it's like jumping the gun.
I was going to ask that how exactly did she save the people? Sisera was on the run, and we'll have to, examine her actions, really.
We discussed it, right? But if he would have survived, then he would have regrouped, and such a famous general.
Right, so that's definitely one approach. Very good. Okay, so I'll read you before I read the Gemara, I just want to mention the Al-Sheikh. Actually, let's see the Gemara first, and then we'll discuss the Al-Sheikh. And even before we see the Gemara, we're going to see the next two Pesukim, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it further. So the Gemara continues, Chafei Mayim Sha'al, he asked for water, Sisera asked for water, Chalav Nasana, she gave him milk, more heavy drink, the milk was probably very heavy, put him to sleep, creamy milk. The Sefel Adirim Hikriva Chema, in the trough of Adirim, of Mighty One, he brought him butter. Rashi says he brought him, when he asked for water, he brought milk. Based on the Targum Yonasan, Rashi says that she wanted to know if he was with it. Can you tell the difference between water and, he was exhausted, I guess. She wanted to know if she would be able to trick him and ultimately to take his life. So he was testing him by bringing him the wrong drink to see if he would notice or if he would say anything. I assume he didn't, because he ended up, killing him successfully.
You have to be pretty adamant to not notice the difference between water and milk.
That doesn't matter. He was asleep.
Not yet. So that's the other approach.
Yet,
right. The other approach is that she brought the heavy milk, the heavy drink, just to put him to put him to sleep. And that's
horrific.
And it could be both. This trough, the Seifel Adirim. So Rashi went to just a regular trough. I guess she wanted to just, lay it on heavy, give him a lot to drink from. Others say that no, it was like a nice, honorable bowl that to make him think that she was being mechabed him, she was honoring him. She was treating him well, and
a stately saucer.
There you go, a stately saucer. And therefore, she wouldn't, I would never come up with a translation like that. That's a great translation. Or a great rendering of that pasuk. So, so she wanted to make him think that she was honoring him, and thereby, keep his guard down. And then in Pasuk Chavav describes how she killed him. Yada la yase tishlachna. Her hand went to the peg. That was her left hand. The amino la halmus amelim, and her right hand to the this is some sort of hammer or something that she would use to bang the peg in. The homa sisra and
a mallet.
Okay, thank you. The Homa Sisera, and she struck Sisera, Machaka Rosho, she separated his head, Machsa, and she damaged him, she hit him, the Kofa Rakoso, and she put the peg through his temple. This Halmus Amelin, Amelin means, you know, those who toil. So some Rishonim learned that was just the name of this hammer, this mallet. It was called an Amelin because those who toil use it. Others learn that
the toil and Torah.
Others learn that no, Amelin refers to Sisra. He was toiled. He was tired. The Halmus Amelin. It was the her right hand reached out to strike the Amelin, the again, the plural is a little bit difficult, but the tired one, referring to Sisra.
Does anybody discuss the concept that maybe she was so honored because it was like a potato as well, like according to some opinions, and partial history?
We'll get into a very little long a minute, but what's your question?
That's why we were so honored here, because it's...
Why she's so honored.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely was a great act, and a very important act. So, the Malbim here, yeah, really mentioned this also in the last parak, when we read about Yael killing Sisra, says that this came about through a nace, that she had the strength to accomplish this. She was holding the peg in one hand, and the mallet in the other hand, but she couldn't lift it up from, she was too weak, she was too tired to do it, and through a nace, it struck through his temple, and according to the Malbim, the word Amelim refers to her, refers to Yael, that she was soiled, she was tired, and he reads the pasuk that Yada, her hand that was sent, that was used for the peg, and her right hand, which she used to hold the mallet, and Bahamas, to use both of them to hit him, they were amazing. Her hands were tired, and she was only able to be machka rosho. She was only able to make a small, you know, dent in his head, let's say. She was able to hurt him a little bit, but with that, with just the machta, chalfa rakaso, it ended up protruding all the way through his head, through an ace, that even though she was too weak, a nace caused and allowed it to go all the way through.
I mean, you would think that it would take a lot of strength to get it to all together.
Right, okay, I mean, that's why she was so tired.
Through the other side.
That's why she was so tired. So the Gemara says over here, we did talk about this a little bit last time around. The Gemara says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Gedola Aveira Lishma mi mitzvah shalo lishma. An Aveira done shalo lishma, an Aveira lishma, an Aveira for the sake of God, is greater than a mitzvah shalo lishma, a mitzvah done not for the sake of God. The Gemara asks, the Amar of Yehuda Marav, the Olam Yasuk Adam Batarav mitzvos, Afiwa shalo lishman. What about, don't we know, a person should always do mitzvah shalolishma? Shem mitzvah shalolishma bolishma. Because even if you do mitzvah shalolishma, you'll eventually come to do them lishma for the sake of God. So the Gemara changes it. It says, what? That is a statement in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Marav. Mitzvah shalolishma bolishma. If you do something not for the sake of God, eventually you'll accustom yourself to doing it and you'll come to do it for the sake of God. So the Gemara changes it, says, you're right, that can't be the statement. The statement must have been, Ela Ema ki mitzvah shalo lishma. That an Aveira lishma is like a mitzvah shelo lishma. It's equal to it's kimitzvah shelo lishma. It's not greater, but it's equal. Dechsev, because the pasuk says tivorach minashim Yael. Yael should be blessed. Eishes chaverakeini minashim ba'ohel tivorach. Like the from among the women of the tent, she should be blessed. Man nashim sheba ohel. Who are these women of the tent? The Gemara asks. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, the Leah. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. What was the Avera Shalom, the Avera Lishma? The Gemara goes on. Amar of Yochanan, Sheba be'ilos ba'al, osa rasha ba'osa shah. She had relations with Sisra 7 times at that time. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Bein ragleha kara nafal shachav. This is the next Pasuk. Read the next pasuk chazayin. Bein ragleha, between her legs, kara, he bent, nafal, he fell, shachav, he lay. Bein ragleha, between her legs, kara, the nafal, kara, nafal, he bent, he fell. Vasher kara, where he bent, sham, nafal, shadud, there he fell, still. And the pasuk, the Radak explains, it says it has 7 lishonos of bending and falling and laying. And so the Gemara understands from all the repetition here that she had relations with him 7 times. The Yonatan Eibshitz has a different remez, finds a different hint in the pasuk from the word ba'asher. He says that the word ba'asher is a notricum, it's an acronym for Sheva Baal Oso Rasha. Not in order, but the letters of Ba'asher can spell out Sheva Baal Oso Rasha. That Rasha was Baal, had relations with her 7 times. So that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara wants to know, how could that be? You know, how could we praise such a thing? Beha kamishanya mi be'ilo delay. She's at least, she's getting pleasure from it. And the Gemara answers, Amar of Yochanan, kol tovasan so rishayim eina el ara itzal tzadikin. The tova of rishayim is ra'a for tzadikin. Is bad. She would not have a enjoyment of a rasha is a ra'a for a tzaddik, so it's a pasuk. And Rashi out there explains. Rashi also, by the way, like the Radak, Rashi on the Gemara says that the 7 comes from the 7 times, 7 lashonos of bowing in this pasuk. Actually, it's not a Rashi here. I think it's a Gemara. There's another Gemara. And the Gemara... The Gemara says that, you know, even if we have a proof, really, the Gemara's proof, by the way, is from a pasuk in this week, in this coming week's parsha. The pasuk says that Yishamer lecha midaberim Yaakov mitov yadra. Hashem comes to Lavan in a dream and he says, "Be careful, don't speak to Yaakov mitov yadra, from good to bad." And the Gemara says, Bishlam Arash, after we understand why Lavan shouldn't speak to Yaakov bad, why Hashem says don't speak to him bad, but why does he say Mitov Yadra, don't speak to him even good? So the Gemara learns out that Tovaso Ra, the Tov of Arasha is Ra for a tzaddik. Like even in the friendship or the niceness that the pleasantness that Lavan might give to Yaakov is Ra for Yaakov. The Gemara learns out. So therefore, same thing over here. The Tov of Sisra, if the pleasurable experience would be Ra, would be bad for Yael. The Gemara in Yevamos, Tosfos here quotes it. This is the Gemara Nazir, by the way. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that says, okay, but still, so I understand the Gemara says maybe by Lavan, what's bad for Lavan, what's good for Lavan is bad for Yaakov, because he's going to start, you know, talking about his Avodah Zarahs and presenting him with all his ideals. But Yael, what kind of Ra is it? Again, at the end of the day, she'll have a pleasurable experience, you would think. And the Gemara answers, Deshada Bazuama. So he will contaminate her through his actions. So, Tosfos and Ketubos mentions his approach to this Gemara. Tosfos says that when the Gemara asks that, but she's getting Hana, she's benefiting from the Avera, the Gemara is not saying necessarily that she shouldn't have done it, but it's asking that, but, you know, even if she should have done it, but how could we praise her, how could we speak so well of her, Tvorach Minashim, how could we give her such praise? And that's what the Gemara answers, that, you know, it wasn't even a good experience for her. That's why she deserves praise. And in the course of the Tosfos there, he also throws out a line there that he says, and she did it, lahatzilas Yisrael, she did it to save Klal Yisrael. And again, we're faced with this question, like we said on Rashi, that Rashi was also implied this when Rashi said that if not for Yael, then Yisrael would have been destroyed. And we have to understand, at the end of the day, how is that so? The pasuk says that all of Sisera's army fell, there wasn't even one remaining, and Sisera ran away, so nobody was left, and what exactly was the great salvation that came through killing Sisera? So, I think the answer for Tosfos, when Tosfos says she did it to Hatzalas Yisrael, she did it to save Klal Yisrael, we can simply say that that's why she did it, because she didn't know, you know, that his army had been destroyed. She knew he was on the run, but you know, the rest of his army could have also been on the run. He could have regrouped. And so, from her standpoint, she certainly believed that this was it was very important to take his life. Additionally, we could say that maybe it was even true. We know at the end of the last parak, Pasuk describes that, Pasuk describes, Vayachna Elohim Bayomahu es Yavim El Kinar, Hashem lowered, Hashem defeated on that day, Yavin, the king of Canaan. And then the next pasuk says, "Vatelach Yad Bnei Yisrael Haloch Lekasa Al Yavin Melech Canaan." The hand of Israel continued to go hard against Yavin Melech Canaan. Adatir Yisritzu As Yavin Melech Canaan until they destroyed Yavin Melech Canaan. So you see from the end of that's all after the Battle of Sisera, that there was still, that was just a battle. The war hadn't been won yet. There were other battles to be fought. And once they destroyed Sisera and his army, so then they were able to then finish off the war, be victorious in war. So you see again that there was still plenty of Canaanim left. And had Sisera, the great general, escaped, then he may have been able to regroup. He was obviously a great general and made problems for Klal Yisrael, and therefore it was a great act, a very important act that Yael did to kill Sisera, the general of the Plishti army. The Alshech that I was going to mention before. Start with that. The Alshech points out in this comparison between Yael and the Imaho, a very clear distinction that might have make you think to separate the Ya'el from the Imahot. And that's exactly what the Pasuk is coming, what Devorah is coming to refute, to exclude, and that is that we find that all of the Imahot went to great ends to make sure that they did not have relations with some evil person or with a guy. So we find by Sarah, so Pyro kidnaps her, and the Medrash says that she lay on the ground and she screamed and she davened that Hashem should save her from being contaminated by Pyro. Rivka, the same thing with Avimelech, and Chazal also say that we know, more famously we know that Leah Eineha Rachos, her eyes were soft. Next week's Parsha, she cried because she thought she would have to marry Esav, and Rachel also, there's a Medrash that at one point we find that she cried as well. She was afraid that when she had no children, I believe it was, that Yaakov would divorce her, and then she would also have to end up marrying Esav. So we find all the Imahos crying and davening to make sure they're not subjected to marriage or to relations with a Russia. But here you have, and Hashem saves them all. And then you have Yael, who, quite the opposite, deliberately subjects herself to relations with the Russia, with Sisra, and so that's exactly what Devorah is coming to do, to praise Yael and say, no, Devorah Minashim Ba'olel, she's as blessed as the women of the tent, as the Imahos, that her act was indeed great and leaves her on the same level as the Imahos. In terms of what the Gemara describes, the mitzvah of the Imahos as a mitzvah to lo lishma, right? It says the avera lishma of Yael is as great as the mitzvah shelo lishma of the Imahos. What was their mitzvah shelo lishma? The Meshech Chachma here says that the Imahos, so they wanted to build up the Jewish nation. However, they don't have a mitzvah of Priya Verivya to have children. Women, I think it's a machlokas in the Gemara, but I think we passed in this way, that women don't they're not mechuyav in the mitzvah, they're not obligated in the mitzvah to have children. They may be obligated to assist their husbands to have children, and they may be included in a different mitzvah, not from the Taryag, but a different idea to populate the earth, but they don't have a positive commandment, and so therefore he says we could refer to it as a mitzvah shelo lishma. They wanted to do something. Again, it's a little bit of a kind of straightforward reading of it. It's not really a mitzvah shelo lishma. A mitzvah shelo lishma is when you have a mitzvah, right? It's right. It's like a non-mitzvah lishma, not an avera, but. What?
A good deed done for the sake of heaven, but not a commandment?
Right. Right, that's what Rabbi Schlepp was suggesting. But, but he wants to read that you can recall that also a mitzvah shelo lishma. Perhaps it doesn't have the effect of a lishma, of a regular mitzvah, because if they're not mechuyav in the mitzvah. But Yael was mechuyav in the mitzvah of milchama, of battle. That the Gemara says that everyone is mechuyav, is obligated in a milchemes mitzvah, in a battle that's a mitzvah, that's for Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's called lishma, it's an avera for the sake of a mitzvah, for the mitzvah of milchama. So I guess he's reading it really, the lishma is going on whether it's a fee of mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah, it's a good deed, but it was shelo lishma, it wasn't for an actual obligation of a mitzvah. That was the Imahos, they did a good deed, but not for the obligation of a mitzvah. They weren't obligating in that mitzvah of of reproducing, of having children. But Yael is commanded in the mitzvah of Melchama, of battle, and therefore what she does is lishma is for the mitzvah, to have veira for the sake of the mitzvah of a milchemes mitzvah of the battle against the push. Okay, there's not so much left of the parak. I'm just wondering how much more we should do. We'll do at least the next pasuk. Maybe we'll just make a run for the end of the parak. Pasuk continues. The ad hachalon nishkifa batiyabed em sister of the ad ha'esna. By the window she peered out. Batiyabed em sisra, and the mother of sisra cried the ad ha'esnav by the window. And what did she say? Madua boshesh richbo lavo. Why has his chariot delayed in coming? Madua echru pame markavoshav. Why are the bells of his chariot late? Why are they delayed? The Malbim here points out that there's a difference between a chalon and an eshnav, two different types of windows. There's also a difference between the word boshesh, to wait, and the word echeru, to be late. They're both to delay, to be late, but he says they have different implications. So the Malbim says that the Malbim says that an eshnav is a window. It's made through. It's a man-made window. I'm not sure if it was actually looked outside. I think it was to see the constellations for astrologers, for divining, and that was the eshnav. But the chalon is just a regular window. And he says the word boshesh is when someone is delayed even more. Echeru is just to come late, and boshesh is to be really late, I suppose. So sorry, I think he does it the opposite. That boshesh is just to come a little late, and echeru is to come really late. So he says that first she looked out be'ada chalom nishkifa. She looked out the window, and on that he reads the words that she said, Madua boshesh richbo lavo. Why is he late in coming? And then she got worried, so she went to the eshnav. She went to her divination, to her magic or her astrology. I'm not sure exactly what she was using, but she went there and she peered out, and she what's that?
Who is this?
Her mother, sister's mother. And she's looking out the window, and there, then she looks into the eshnav, and she looks out, and then she starts to cry, and Madua echru pamir markavosav, why is he late, why isn't he coming? Because as the Malbim describes, that she saw blood, and she realized that something must have been amiss. Malbim describes even more that she actually saw Sisera bleeding. I don't know what exactly she was using, to summon or astrology or some sort of divination, that she saw Sisera bleeding. Yeah. So she says, Pasuk continues, Chachmo Sarosel Taneo, Tanena, Afi Toshiv Amorehova. The wise women around her, they answered her, and so too she answered herself. And they said, Halo Yimsu, Yichalku Shalom, behold, they found, and they will divide up Buri, Racham, Racham Osayim, or Rosh Geber. There's probably one or two girls for every man. Every man has young girls as captives. The Sion says the word Racham, from the word Rechem, a womb. It's a crude way of referring to a woman. You know, each man probably has a couple of young girls. Shala, Tzivayim, Sistra, Sistra's probably collecting booty. Don't worry, the reason why they're late is they're collecting booty. They have girls, captives, they have Tzivayim, they have colored clothing. Shala, Tzivayim, Rikma, booty of colored clothing, that's Rikma, that's sewn through on both sides, a nice design. Tavarik Masaimo Tavarik Shlal, colored work for the necks of the men from the booty. They're just probably collecting the booty, and that's why they're late. And I just mentioned that they saw their astrology or through their shaman, through their divination, that they saw blood, and they saw, and right, the way the Malbim said it was that she saw Sisera bleeding, but the only thing I've said says that he's suggesting what they probably saw was they saw a woman, and they saw clothing or some sort of, you know, maybe it wasn't so clear. They saw clothing, this is what they're divining with their divination. They saw clothing, they saw coverings, and they saw blood. And so they said, oh, it must be the women that they see. The woman that they see is because each of the soldiers got captives, got women. And the clothing that they saw, they said, oh, they must have collected clothing, and the blood must be the blood of the Israelites. What they didn't realize was that the blood was actually Sisera's blood, and the clothing was the blanket that Yael had covered Sisera with when he went to sleep, and the woman, of course, was Yael. Yael was the woman who, maybe Deborah also, but Yael, they saw something about a woman. They didn't realize that it was in fact Yael that they were seeing, who was the one to kill Sisera.
This was the captive women. What did they do with them?
What did they do with them? They didn't have captive women. They thought that they did. They were trying to appease her. Sorry, I didn't explain that clearly. They said, oh, you know why he's late? Don't worry. It's because he took a woman captive. They're collecting the captive, and they're collecting booty. That's why he's late. Don't worry. He'll be here soon.
He's busy.
Right.
He's busy pillaging and doing other things.
Exactly. King Yovdu Koleivecha Hashem, so too all of your enemies should be destroyed, Hashem. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The Oavav, Kitzeis Hashem Etzvi Gvurasho, and his loved ones, on the other hand, they should be like the sun coming out at its strength, right? As the sun comes out, it gets warmer and warmer as it rises, and so too those who love Hashem should be like that. Batisko Ta'aretz Arbaim Shana, and the parak ends off, this is not part of the Shira, that the land was quiet for 40 years. The 40 years, by the way, include the 20 years that it wasn't quiet at the beginning of the parak. It really wasn't such a long time, but another 20 years of peace. 40th.